So grab a snack and don't you stress. Tune on in to the Doctor's Mess. Ow!
Wow. Whoa, Your Majesty. Well, well, well.
Yes, Your Highness. Is that what you're supposed to say? I don't know.
The King?
More His Holiness, but I don't stand on titles here. Doctor is fine.
Doctor Holiness? Is that what we're calling you?
Just Doctor Mister's fine. Or
Doctor Mister Holiness.
Or Pope Innocent. I chose Innocent.
Now, for people not part of Catholicism, would we still call you Holiness, or do I get to just call you your regular name? How does that work?
Look, guys, when I'm here and we're just hanging out, you can call me whatever you want. So, Dr. Mister's fine. Now, yes, obviously.
Dr. Pope Innocent Mister. Okay.
Look, obviously the Swiss Guard's going to be following me everywhere. Just got to get used to that.
Yeah, that's a weird thing. Is your spouse jealous of the guard at all?
Well, technically, I had to have an annulment to become Pope.
I'm in a
real crossroads right now. We'll talk about that, I guess, when it's my turn. We can just talk about it now.
No, I'm curious. I want to talk about it.
Yeah. All right. So I looked it up, and before I went to go get duck-duck-goosed into being Pope, I had to annul my marriage to the gorilla. So in a real catch-22 situation, now that I'm Pope, my family loves me again. I can stay at the seminary. They gave me my own room. But I can't get married. So it's like a real gift of the Magi, catch-22. You know, I had to become Pope so that my marriage would work out because it was the only thing I had going for me. My family hated me. My roommates hated me. And now that I have become Pope, my family loves me. My roommates love me, but I can't get married. So
now the Catholic Church is really upset about the fact that now the capital for the Catholic Church is in here in Evansville, Indiana, at the seminary.
Okay, well, they can have whatever feelings they want, but I mean, my word is law, so make that pilgrimage to Evansville. I'll still be having Wednesday Mass.
Now, what I want to know is, did you have to have both sides of the conversation when you had the breakup talk with the gorilla?
Absolutely, I did. Both of us had to be in agreement to get it annulled.
How did the gorilla take it?
I mean, he wasn't very happy, and you know, little birds told me that maybe he's organizing the entire prison population against me. But look, I got Swiss guards. I have a Pope Mobile. It's bulletproof. I think I'll be all right.
Yeah, that Pope Mobile is cool. I mean, it is cool. People are like marveling at that thing in the parking lot. People are taking pictures with it and, you know, selfies, all that stuff. The Pope Mobile is a big hit. People love it.
Yeah, people are just getting sick just to come see the Pope Mobile.
Now, with that Pope Mobile, is that a new Pope Mobile, or have other popes been in that Pope Mobile? Have you found any souvenirs left behind?
It's the one and only. So, yeah, I found some knickknacks in there.
And those were all the knacks that Nick left behind, right?
Yeah, Pope Nick left a lot of knacks.
Yep. Yeah, he's a big knack collector.
He would always say, I'm having a knack attack, is what I remember. I remember seeing that in the news.
Yeah, he'd get knacky.
Yeah, the Pope. It was fairly famously the Pope with the knack attack issue.
Now, that was confusing for kids because they were like, is it Saint Nick or is it Pope Nick? You know?
Yeah.
Because they both had the beard.
Well, if you were a good family, you just gave him double presents and that was fine.
Yeah, if you were a good family, as in a rich family, I mean, not everybody had that kind of money growing up. Some people had to pull themselves up by their bootstraps, and, you know, those poor kids.
What kind of, by the way, Dr. Proctor, what kind of boots do you wear that allow you to pull yourself up by the straps of your boots?
Well, I have these boots I got from Dr. Martin. They're Doc Martens, and they have a little strap on the, like on the sort of the back above the heel, like on the top of it, there's that little tab, you know, the strap that you can put your finger in and you pull it up. And so you can pull yourself up by that little tab.
So that tab, now, if I'm just thinking from a physics standpoint, and I'm not calling you out and I'm not calling you a liar or anything like this, but if I was to pull from the top on that strap, I would find myself pulling myself down.
Well, that would mean you're pulling down. Now, if you pull that strap when the boot's on your foot, you're pulling your foot up.
I see. In my family, it was always you pull yourself up by your suspender straps. So I don't really see the boot thing, but with the suspenders, you're definitely pulling yourself up. So I'm thinking maybe you guys have the saying all wrong.
Well, my family, we would always pull yourself up by your undershorts.
Oh yeah, that's the classic.
Like your underpants. Wait, is this one of those regional things again? What do you guys call them? I call them underpants. You call them undershorts?
Well, there's two. There's underpants and there's undershorts, because sometimes you're wearing shorts and sometimes you're wearing pants.
I call them drawers.
Yeah, those are uncomfortable, especially like the wood ones.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's hard to wear wood drawers. They don't really, they support you, but almost too well, you know? Like, your junk's not moving.
And it's real frustrating, because I've seen it when you come to work wearing your drawers and people come in looking for things like scalpels or like gauze, and they start, you know, really trying to open up your drawers to look for stuff.
Oh, it is embarrassing when someone is looking for a scalpel and they end up just pulling the front of my drawers open and they're grabbing my junk instead. Like, you know, Dr. Lee, when he was still here, he tried to make an incision with my penis on a patient. And I had to be like, whoa, whoa, hey, you know, that's not a scalpel. I mean, it's not even, it was enough to break the skin. It's sharp enough to break the skin, but not clean like a scalpel, you know?
Yeah, because you have one of those penises that is famously razor sharp.
I got a famously sharp penis. It's basically, I have vagina dentata, but for the penis. So it's got like sharp teeth around the tip.
Yeah, it's against the law for you to have sex, isn't it?
It is. Oh, man. I had to go to court, and boy, was my judge not a pleasant man. He was like the judge from My Cousin Vinny, you know, really big, tall man with a deep voice. And he said, son, you are not allowed to have sex with women ever. And that was the end of that story. I might as well be Pope.
You're saying your penis has teeth, though?
Yeah, it's got teeth. They look sort of like shark's teeth. You know, they're sharp and pointy like that. And they just sort of, they're small and they go all around the tip. They're all around the tip.
Now, is there a tongue in there? Like, I'm just curious if you can taste things with your penis.
Yeah, there's a tongue. There's a tongue, but it doesn't have a really good sense of taste.
The nose is where all the, well, I guess Dr. Uger would know this a little better, but right, most taste comes from the nose anyway.
The nose of the penis has probably the most taste buds.
The nose and the penis?
The nose of the penis.
Oh, the nose of the penis.
Oh, I thought.
Well, see, that's something I didn't know. You know, it's not my specialty, so I never learned that. But that's good to know. I mean, maybe there's something wrong with it. I might have COVID. because I haven't been able to taste anything with my penis for quite a long time. Could I be patient zero?
You could be patient zero.
But there's definitely hundreds of people in Evanston that have COVID. You wouldn't be patient zero by any stretch.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh God, everyone in Evansville has COVID. Has had.
Sorry,
COVID.
I was using the Italian.
Will have COVID
pronunciation. Evansville, yeah.
Evansville.
I said Evanston.
Oh yeah, that's
the Italian rubbing off. I had to learn Latin, Italian, all kinds of stuff. Guys, being Pope is hard, and there's a good chance that maybe I trick somebody into duck-duck-goosing it back. But I won't telegraph that.
I can imagine it's a lot. You have to bless people, and there's just a lot of work with it, right? You have to sort of make people happy and feel like they have a progressive pope, but also keep the very conservative people happy by keeping them thinking that, you know, their religion gets to put other people down in some way.
Absolutely. And meanwhile, I also have to make sure that everyone is guilty, feels guilty all the time.
Mm.
So it's a real balance.
Now, you famously, the first thing you did is you famously came out today and you tried to change marriage stuff up, but not too far. You said gay people should get married, but then immediately created a distraction by saying nobody should wear a mask.
Yep. It's a duck and a duck. So look out for one more decree, and there's a chance to swipe the papacy from me right away. Keep an eye out.
Now, you could easily, with the decree, just make it so that you can have an interspecies marriage, right? You could get married back to the gorilla. You're not... This wasn't a whole ruse to get out of your gorilla relationship, was it?
Like I said, I'm at a crossroads. I'm kind of also... I feel like I'm sort of... I'm like an Aladdin. You know, when he has the two wishes, now it's like, are you going to use that third wish to get what you want? Or are you going to use that third wish to set the genie free? I don't know. And the genie is me, and I don't want to be Pope anymore. But also, everybody loves me. At least in my family. Everybody that cares, that matters.
Well, in fact, you've lost all of your followers except for your family.
Oh, my atheist blog? Right? Yeah, I lost everybody from my atheist blog. They found out who I was. They dropped off. Guys, I'm bearing the lead. The reason... The only reason that I wanted to make sure I didn't get kicked out of the seminary is because I didn't want to miss spaghetti night. Spaghetti night's delicious.
Ah.
That's the real heart of the issue.
It's hard to find good spaghetti in this town. I mean, I'll tell you what. I would be willing to join the seminary for some spaghetti. This town has awful pasta.
I mean, it's such a cliche to be like Italian spaghetti, but... Man, they do spaghetti the best.
I'll tell you what, and you can't, and you're right, you can't find good spaghetti here in town. God, I wouldn't do to go somewhere that has great spaghetti.
Now, the gorilla told me all he gets are egg noodles and ketchup.
Oh,
that's awful.
That's, yeah. God, I bet a monkey wouldn't even eat that.
So. I'm just saying, there's forces at work, and I really need to thread the needle on this. Anyway, how was the lock-in?
Hey,
can I talk about the lock-in?
Oh,
the job fair, you mean?
Yeah, I guess. Okay, you guys thought it was a job fair. I thought it was a lock-in. This is where the confusion sets in.
Oh, are you guys talking about the overnight podcast?
Well, you... Overnight podcast is what you are you saying that because Mark Maron hosted it?
Yeah,
I think we're all talking about the same thing. I mean, that private security company took the job fair very seriously. And I mean, I wasn't able to get out of here till the next morning. I mean, not that I was trying to stay overnight or anything, but, you know.
I kept people locked in the ER. Their bills were astronomical. They kept saying, I'm ready to leave. I'm healthy. I should leave. And I kept saying, no, you're locked in. I thought that was the point.
Oh, that's...
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I thought, too, was like, hey, this is what the job is. You have to experience the other end of it before you can be on the receiving end. You have to be on the giving end. So give us a lot of money, and then maybe you can get some later.
Oh, that's right. I thought it would be fair to do my job if you paid me. And otherwise, you would be locked in until you paid me.
Now, you were having a lot of fun at the job fair, though, going up to every different occupation and asking whether or not you get to punch the face of the people who you're serving.
Yeah, and then I got tired of asking.
Well, is it that you got tired of asking, or is it that Mike Tyson was there and you realized what was going to happen if you asked him?
I'm not afraid of Mike Tyson.
Okay. All right. Because I remember he came up to me and was like, hey, have you seen Dr. Brent Ugas around here? I'm looking for Brent Ugas. And
he didn't sound like that. He sounded like this. Are you looking for Brent Ugas? Are you looking for the Brent Ugas?
I don't know. I think he sounded more like, well, are you looking for, I'm looking for Brent Ugas. Are you looking for, you know where Brent Ugas is? I'm looking for him. I think that's...
No, he sounded like high-end like this. Are you looking for the Brent Ugas?
It was more like he was very lispy. It was like, oh, I'm looking for Brent Ugas. You seen him around? You seen Brent Ugas around? I'm going to punch him right in the face. I'm going to eat his children.
And he did eat one of my children.
He did? Ah, I didn't know that. I'm yeah. Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, he said, I'm gonna eat one of your children if I can't punch you in the face. And I said, here's one of my
kids. Wow, that's not the instinct I would have thought you would have had.
It's exactly the instinct that I thought I would have, and I protected myself before others.
So what you're saying, though, is that there is a spare bedroom at your house right now.
Actually, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but we kind of had a bonding moment after he had finished eating my child, and Mike Tyson's kind of staying at my house.
Wow. Wow, that's wild.
Yeah, he sleeps like this.
Eat your baby. Wow. So it seems that you have a sort of, you have an airplane safety paternal instinct, sort of protect yourself first and then put the mask on your children.
Yes. Every time I fly in a plane, they come up to me and I go, I know, next row, let's keep going.
I get it. I get it.
Yeah, I am famous for punching passengers in the face if they try to put the mask on a loved one before themselves. Because then they're like, I can't breathe. I'm like, well, you could have breathed if you put the mask on first.
That's probably good for safety. I mean, if people aren't afraid enough of dying in a plane crash, well, hey, here's the real immediate threat of getting punched in the face, and that'll really whip you into gear, you know? It's just less abstract of a threat.
Yeah.
So did anybody get any new doctors to sign up to, you know, did we hire anybody new from the lock-in? Anything?
I honestly didn't know that that was the point.
We're still understaffed, so.
We lost more doctors.
I actually hired a guy.
Oh, yeah?
Did you? Yeah. Really? His name's Renfield. He says he used to work for a guy who was some kind of royalty in Europe. And he likes to work night shifts. He said he's used to it. And he's been very, you know, a very good assistant, helping me out. He said anytime I want to X-ray an attractive young woman, he can find one for me. So it's been great so far. He's been working out really well.
Now, question about Renfield, and look, you don't need to ask how I know this or how I don't know this, but Renfield isn't the guy that wears a big purple coat and has a cane and a tall hat.
Have you seen him walking around the hospital? Because, yeah, that's exactly what he wears.
Yeah, and by around the hospital, I mean outside of the hospital, walking around the outside of the hospital.
Oh, so, you know, like on his breaks.
Oh, okay. Sure. And he's got, like, gold teeth.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you're describing him exactly.
And maybe Dr. Cheddar should take a look at him because it looks like one of his feet might be injured because he kind of like hobbles when he walks.
Uh-huh.
Well, I mean, he comes to me and it's all free. I mean, I actually owe him a bit of money right now. So, I'll tell you, all services and foot checkouts are free from me for him.
How do you end up in debt to your patients? So that's not something you hear of.
You know, it's probably because, as you guys know, I work on the barter system. I don't like to exchange cash. So usually it works in trades. And what I'll say is, when you're trading, make sure you trade for things and not amounts of time. I lose track of time really quickly, and what might seem like just an hour easily can become between 3 and 16.
So you're saying you've reached the point where you're trading your time for your patient's time?
My patient's time, or, you know, just anyone's time. If they can offer me someone's time, their time, I'm willing to exchange time for
and them. Dr. Mister, you know something about 3 and 16, don't you?
I sure do. Just ask my friend John.
What is that? What's that famous quote from
3:16? John 3:16. So God so loved the world, he gave his only son.
So God so loved the world, he gave his only son. That sounds, yep.
I mean, there's also the best.
And that's, I mean,
3:16 says, "I just kicked your ass." But I'm referring to the more, the less colloquial.
And you were,
and I think,
and you forced Notre Dame to change John 3:16 to Austin.
Again, it's a suggestion. I have to be very, very careful with what my next decree is. So everything else is really more of a suggestion at this point. Any second I accidentally make that decree, somebody can snatch this hat off my head, chase him around. They beat me, they're Pope. So again.
And now, Dr. Uger, I've heard that you're also trying to campaign to get it changed to a Dr. Brent Uger 3:16, which is I give my son to Mike Tyson.
Yeah. Yeah, and I built a whole wing dedicated to ENT at Notre Dame, and they're considering it. They're considering it, but it would really help to get the blessing from the Pope.
Look, we all
to make that happen.
Clearly, remember the story of Abraham, that he took his son because God said that he should sacrifice
and ate him.
And just before he was about to sacrifice his child to God, God stopped and said, "You know what? Don't do it, but I love you." Now, you kind of did the same thing. You basically had your own story of Abraham where Mike Tyson said, "I'm going to eat your child." And then you sacrificed your child to Mike Tyson, and then he went through with it. Right? I see biblical parallels everywhere now.
Yeah. Well, it's and also proof that God does not love me or care about me.
What's the passage where Abraham marries a gorilla?
Well, I mean, God gave man dominion over all animals. Therefore,
right.
Right. No, I was going to say something that I just
thought. Yeah, it logically follows.
I held back.
And on the eighth day, God said, let them lay with primates.
I'm sure that's in there somewhere. I've only been Pope like a week, guys. And the Bible is big.
Oh, you haven't even been through Pope orientation. You haven't even gone through Pope orientation I have not. Yet.
Truth be told, the white smoke kind of knocked me out for 2 days. So I haven't really been Pope for that long. Plus, I had to lock in, so I was here locked in for a while, and they weren't happy about that. And then I moved. You know, there's a lot, you know, with a move, getting everything from all the way over here from Rome. I basically had time to study for like, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes.
How long did it take them to get the Sistine Chapel over here? I tell you what, it looks great in the break room.
It's nice.
Did you guys like use hunks who move junk?
College hunks hauling junk? Yeah, I mean, I saw them on
I was just wondering because, man, you really did get it moved over here quickly, and I'm impressed.
It's great because I like looking up when I'm taking a break, and I've punched a number of my patients in the face, and I'm feeling violent, and I look above me and I see touching the hand of God, and it's nice. It's relaxing.
I guess you're welcome. I don't know if I can take that much credit for it. Sort of come to the territory.
Well, you're the Pope. You're the Pope. So now I heard that Rome is not doing great. I guess financially, the Catholic Church kind of pumped a lot of, there's just a lot of money that was around there, and they're not doing great.
Oh, you're talking about, because there's not the tourism and not the money, not the fact that I really went deep into the coffers to get not just the Sistine Chapel moved over here, but also all the Vatican archives, the kind of, yeah, the,
and
all
the stuff
from like, Da Vinci Code and stuff. That's all here in Evansville now.
You brought Tom Hanks over, and that was big. That was a big move, Tom Hanks.
Now, Dr. Proctor, I mean, with all of that, I mean, you can't possibly believe everything that's written, you know, Vatican documents. I mean,
oh, absolutely, I do. I mean, it's they're the holy documents. Of course, what's written in those is the law of the world. You know. Absolutely.
Hey guys.
Hmm.
We should probably get to doing the bulletins.
Oh, yeah, the bulletins.
Yeah, so by the way, everyone, welcome to this episode of the podcast here for the Evansville St. Deaconista Hospital, where we bring you all the updates and bulletins here for the patients and staff of St. Deaconista Hospital. My name is Dr. Brent Ugers, ENT, and I currently have the heavyweight belt in my house, technically.
Oh, my laundry's done. Hold on a second.
Oh, there we
go. We are removing washers and dryers out of
because commodities market for quarters in this place. How much does it cost to do a load of laundry?
$1.25.
Okay, so it's $1.25. So that's 5 quarters. It's 80 quarters to get a Coke. If you want to get that frosty root beer, I mean,
it's $17 to use the dryer though. So yeah.
It's pretty rough. I have half a mind to decree that these machines should take credit cards. I have half of them. I shouldn't. I won't. But I'm thinking about it.
I would be on board with that. I mean, especially if it comes from the Pope. I mean, I can get behind. I'm behind 100% of what you do while you're Pope, just so you know.
Yeah, no matter what you do, Dr. Proctor has said that no matter what you do, as long as you don't kill babies, whatever you do is fine.
Yep. I mean, and that only counts for if they're not born yet. Once they are born and you know, you want to send one to Mike Tyson, hey, that's the Pope's intention. I'm all on board with it.
So anyway, I'm Dr. Brent Ugers, who, if you guys want to introduce yourselves.
Sure, I'm Dr. Stone Proctor, radiology.
Is that all?
Yeah, I mean, I do other stuff, but I'm sure we'll get into it, and we've already talked about some of it. So, yeah, just name and practice for now.
Okay, well, I guess I'm going to come on strong then. This is Dr. Fred Shetter. And if you see a bulletin around the office area, around the hospital, with my face on it saying, "Have you lost your brother?" Feel free to just share it out there. I don't believe I have a brother, but if someone thinks I am their brother, I figure that will probably grant me the ability to stay with them for at least a couple nights.
Yeah.
So
I saw that, Dr. Uger, I saw that your daughter had that bulletin and was crying and holding it up to you. You know, after she lost her brother to being eaten by Mike Tyson.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have not told her. So I told her to make these bulletins and I would put them around the hospital. And it's kind of, you know, it's funny because it's kind of like when your kid goes to eat the last popsicle out of the fridge and, you know, you got to spend, you know, 15 minutes looking around the freezer for it, even though, you know, I ate it. It's the same thing.
My parents used to tell me that there was a freezer monster. And it's the ice machine is what I learned. I mean, there wasn't more to it. I just learned that it's the ice machine.
Oh, I was looking forward to hearing about the freezer monster.
I mean,
because that's what I call my ex-wife. Frigid bitch.
And I am Dr. Deacon Mister. I work in the ER. I'm currently the Pope. And let me just say this. The bulletin man shall pass. That's my go-ahead. That's my religious go-ahead to go ahead with the bulletin. The bulletin man shall pass.
All right.
That's great, guys. I guess not a lot of bulletins this week, just that we do have a lot of extra patients that need help and not a lot of people to help them. So we're kind of doing like, we're kind of just putting iPads in the room and letting everyone kind of WebMD it and kind of use what's in the room to help themselves out. So, you know, just seeing how that works.
People love the self-checkout lines like at Target and Walmart. And we said, why not bring a little bit of that to the hospital?
Yeah, I also feel like WebMD, you'll always, you know, if you come to a doctor, you'll always play down your symptoms, right? But then you go on WebMD and suddenly you play up your symptoms. So really, we're doing a favor. Because like you come to a doctor, you're like, ah, I guess it kind of hurts sometimes. You put anything in a WebMD, it's cancer. So, hey. I think we're going to have the best year that we've had.
Yeah, we're going to have a great year. People are going to be able to agree if they have cancer, because ultimately everyone's going to have cancer. So every room is going to give the ability for you to give yourself chemotherapy.
Yeah, and boy, are we billing for it.
Oh yeah, it's a definite. It's like a definite mini bar situation.
And
it's very tempting. We put that chemotherapy out there, right on top of the fridge, next to the peanuts. And they don't, you know, maybe they don't read the price.
And they are mini. People just love mini stuff. Travel size things, mini little bottles of things. People go nuts for it. And so we found that if we just shrink down the sizes of the medicine, that people go absolutely crazy for it, and they, you know, consume a lot more that way.
I'll tell you what, with all of the medicine I have to give to patients, I've been doing sort of like the mini M&Ms thing for years. You shrink them down to that size and no one complains.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've been keeping the medicine for yourself and just been giving your patients mini M&Ms. Isn't that right?
As you know, all of the medicine and tools that I use, I try to give candy nicknames, and, you know, it just gave me the idea that, maybe I should just give them candy.
So that's just kind of something to look out for if you plan on being a patient here. It's kind of a DIY, you know, self-checkout. It's kind of like Amazon. So you just kind of come in, do it yourself. Still charging the same price because, you know, most of our clients are millennials, so they like to pay more.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a boutique-y hospital with 3,000 rooms.
I find myself saying the word artisanal a lot now, and it's not even in reference to any particular thing. I just throw it in a lot in sentences when I'm talking to patients, and boy, they love it. They love it.
Does that word fit with the same like level of words as charcuterie? Like do those words fit together?
We actually just started to offer a chemo charcuterie tray.
Yeah. An artisanal chemo charcuterie tray, and boy, it's selling like hotcakes. People are going nuts for it. And listen, no insurance company covers this.
Oh, not a single one. We've convinced all of our patients that insurance.
We've also found that if you put on the menu,
oh, because it is
limit one per customer. They want it. They want it more.
It's true. I mean, if you thought you had some kind of sickness that was killing you, and there is a medicine you can take, but you can only take one, you think people are going to pass up the chance to take it? No way. Because, you know, a lot of people get sick, and then they think, well, I'll get some antibiotics tomorrow. There'll be plenty. I can always just get more. No big deal. But hey, one per customer puts some urgency into it.
Well, that's I think you guys are hitting on what I've been talking about forever, which is we need a brand collaborate with our medicines. I mean, we team up with Jordan. It could be the same medicine with a Nike logo, a little Swishman on the top. And I think there'd be a market for that.
Now, it's funny that you say that, Dr. Cheddar, because this week we are interviewing sponsors for the hospital. That's right. If you would like to put your name on anything in our hospital or rename the hospital, you are welcome to do so. We are taking all and every sponsor. Nobody is turned away.
I'll put it out there. If you want sainthood, because you feel like that makes the hospital sound better, I'll give it to you. If for the price. For a price. You want to put your name on it, but you want to put the word saint in front of your name? I'll name the price. And behind, not now, behind closed doors. I want to see how interested you are.
Folks,
off mic.
You heard it from the Pope. If you want to become a saint, you get in contact with us here at St. Deaconessa Hospital here in Evansville, Indiana. This is us at the doctor's mess. We will talk to you next week.
Take two of these and don't ghost me.